There was a former Archbishop of Canterbury back in England, and he turned round and he said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." All through the service so far, Lynn leading his choice of hymns, the choruses that we sang are all hitting my heart. But it's incredible to be here. It's such a blessing to be able to come and anoint Tim. I haven't done it for years. It's so good to be able to come and to share this time. Because I wasn't... I wasn't expecting it to happen. We'd flown back last year, or 2.5 years ago, and our luggage had taken such hard times that, we decided we'd go and buy new luggage, and so we put them up in the roof space, and then COVID came. And I was up in the roof space just a few months back, and I looked across at these new suitcases, and I said, "Lord, will we get the chance to use them?" But if you delight yourself in the Lord, well, you know the rest of the verse. And isn't that what it's all about? This is not a one-way relationship. It's always about his love and his faithfulness to folk like us. What is man that you should set your heart upon him? And yet he does. And the fact that we're called in here to worship and adore him in such a way as this is just incredible to think about. Isn't our God good all the time? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have those hard times. We all do. 2.5 years of lockdown, 2.5 years of things being changed all the time. I was so glad that Tim gave the introduction. It means that you've heard so much of what I was going to say before. But I wanted just to simply lift up the name of our God and to glorify him and to help us all to see and share and enjoy that, because there are some of us that are going through extremely hard times and we need to pray for one another. And there are some of us who are in all kinds of delight and we need to enjoy that and savor that with one another. And then there's the reason why we're here. And that's the whole point. The invasion of Europe was being planned since the evacuation from Dunkirk on June 4, 1944. It appeared to be an absolute rout and defeat, and it was. But right from that time, they began to plan that they were going to come back and that they were going to see the course of the war changed. The date was set by Dwight Eisenhower, the 5th to the 7th of June, 1944. The whole point was that the tides would be in good place at that time to bring things into the shore. And so those dates, 5th to the 7th, were what they were looking at. They didn't know which one to choose. But a 21-year-old called Maureen Sweeney in the Black Sod Lighthouse in County Mayo sent a weather report back across the channel to say storm front in Mayo. And the whole idea was that that was passed up the line of command, the chain of command, right to Dwight D. Eisenhower himself. And he paused and he prayed that night before about should he go on the 5th, and made the decision no, because if the storm front was in Mayo, it was going to hit where they were going to take off from the next day. And so, no, it was not a wise decision to make. And he waited until the 6th of June before D-Day officially went into place. It was an incredible time. It was a time where the man had to wrestle that the decision was his and his alone, and all his chain of command were waiting on his word. And on the 6th, the word was given, go. And D-Day, which means departure day, as I'm sure you all know, went into our operation. The number of men involved were about 158,000 men. The number of aircraft involved, the number of boats involved, except all of that coordinated and worked together. If God knows what we need before we ask, why pray? Matthew 6, verse 8 says that even before we pray, he already knows what we're going to ask for. Why pray then? Well, you see, prayer is getting us into the place where we begin to pray like Jesus and not necessarily repeat what Jesus said. We learn to pray like Jesus prayed, not necessarily repeat what Jesus said. If ever there was an example of one dependent upon his Father in heaven, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we too need to be transformed into his likeness. And what better way to be taught that than to pray? Would you please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read the disciples' prayer. A few months ago, I was going through John 17, which I regard as the Lord's Prayer, and Matthew 6 as the disciples' prayer. This is the pattern that Jesus gave us in order that we might learn to pray aright. There are three sort of assertions. There are three things that we need to take on board. And there are six petitions that are given to us. We're just going to choose one because I'm from Ireland. And if we decided we were going to do more than one, we'd be here for the rest of the day. But I'm trying to be respectful to my son and indeed to Pastor Ryan and the rest of you good folk here. Please turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 9, and I'm beginning at verse 13, and I'm reading from the NIV. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then the words that aren't in the text in the NIV says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, as we open up your word, enable us to see the truth of it worked out in our lives. Enable us to be changed more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And the good work that you have begun in us, bring it through to its completion, so that we will reflect your glory, bring you honor, and so, Lord, be obedient to the prompting of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's incredible to see what this prayer builds into. Those two assertions that Jesus makes right at the start. Our Father in heaven. Our Father, that's a definition for us right there, right then. To take on board the fact that you can sometimes choose your friends, but you certainly can't choose your family. That's already been done for you by the Lord God Almighty himself. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The people who are beside you here in this building today are the people who God is using to transform you into the image of his Son. Now, there are people that you are going to really get on well with, and then there are going to be those people who kind of rub you up the wrong way. I'm glad that Tim's away. Give my head peace for the last 2.5 years. No, I don't. I miss him so much. But the fact of the matter is that God has put Tim in to learn from you, to grow with you, to help you to develop and mature in your walk with Christ too. And that's the way that we're meant to work. We're family. We're defined by the Lord God Almighty. And then alongside that, he's in heaven. There's a distinction there. There's a distinction in who he is and who we are. But where he is, we're going to be one of these days. And that's an excitement that we should be building on and looking towards and encouraged by. And then there's hallowed be your name. What else can come from us but worship and praise? What way can we show that his name is hallowed? By the way that we choose to live, by the way that we choose to respond, the way that we choose to put into practice what we already know. Your kingdom come. That's the invasion. That's the invasion. And we're going to think about that as we get into our sermon. So I'll just mention it and skip on down. Your will be done. Our submission. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see the range of that? Do you realize that people have choice? You and I have choice that we have been set free in order that we can choose to live as he lives. That we can choose to do what he wants us to be about. That we don't have to really sort of be locked off to the things that God wants to do in us and through us. But it's a choice. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's the right recognition that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. The fact that I'm here is one of those rich enjoyments that I can share with you today. And hopefully by the time of the end of the service, we'll be rejoicing in the Lord together. Our absolution, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our absolution, is that conditional? I'm going to leave you that one to tussle with a little bit. And to think about as you go through the rest of your day. Because we all know other verses that make it so clear that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But then there's the temptation, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Pope changed that in 2019, so he did. He decided that was a bad translation, and he turned around and he said, and let us not fall into temptation. I wouldn't dare to do that. But the Pope decided he would, because he said that a father's role is not to lead a son into temptation, but to pick him up when he stumbles and falls. I agree with the second half of what they said, but if you go back to Matthew 4, verse 1, you see that Jesus was driven by the Spirit of the Lord into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. And then we come to, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that's the third sort of assertion and statement that Jesus made. Our jubilation, it's coming. It hasn't quite happened here upon this earth to the degree that it's spoken of here in these words. But the very fact that we're here looking to this time is one of those things that gives us such encouragement and hope in what lies ahead and what's coming. A little kid went into a church in Wales, and they're rather staunch believers in Wales. And the little kid came bouncing in, and there was a very officious elder at the door. And the little kid said, "Whoa, this is a great day." And the elder, "Why is it such a great day?" And the little one said, "Because I read through the book of Revelation all the way through last night, and it was incredible." And the elder said, "Why?" And the younger person turned around and said, "Because we win in the end. And we are going to win in the end. It's already set down for us. But before that time comes, there's going to be an invasion." And so back up into the second part of our prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And that's the invasion. And all of the planning that has gone into that, all of the things that have happened, the very fact that you're in this building today makes it clear that you're part of this invasion force. You're here to influence the world around you. You're here to make that stamp of his kingdom coming ever more apparent as we draw closer and closer to these days. Think about God's majesty in the past. Look at Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, Daniel 4. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We use these verses at Christmas time. But isn't it good to remind ourselves of these verses all the year through? Isn't it good to think about the power of our God? Isn't it good to realize this is all worked out? This is set in place. This is going to happen just as he has declared. And he put this down in the past in order that we might have it in the present and encourage one another for the future. God's majesty in the past. But then there's Daniel 4. It's all about a king who ruled across the known world at that point in time. It's a recognition that there is no higher authority upon this earth than God's. And that God is able to transform lives. And God is able to take those who think they are something and bring them down to a low place. And God is able to raise them back up again as they acknowledge him. And the king had heard what God was going to do and disregarded it and said, "I have done all of these things." And God said, "Your judgment comes upon you. And it did. And for 7 years, the king was driven out from all that he had to eat grass in the field. And it says in verse 34 of Daniel 4, at the end of that time, Nebuchadnezzar raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. And then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold them back. His hand, no one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? And at that same time, my sanity was restored. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to heaven and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. What powers are abroad in this world at the present minute? Who are those people who think that they are something? Who are in control of lives like ours? And yet at the same time, we recognize that God is the one who showed his majesty in the past in order that God's majesty now would be seen. And how is that seen? God's majesty in the present begins with passages like Ephesians chapter 4. And we see how God has united his people together and brings them together in such a way that they glorify his name. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Is anyone outside of the love of God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Those brothers and sisters, I'm thinking of my own, who reject the truth that we've tried to share with them. I often turn around and said, I was the first to believe in my family, but I'm not the last. And to see what God has done through our kids and the way that the Lord has used them to reach out to others, I find that amazing. But then that's part of this invasion that's going on. And we see God at work in people's hearts and minds. We have the choice to either work together or try and do things on our own. But I tell you this, the blessing of working together, the blessing of sharing the gifting that God has put into each of us, the experiences that we have, the good things that we can talk about, the glories of God that we can rejoice in. Let other people know, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Isn't that what we should be about? In church, out of church, at home, out on the malls or wherever. We know because God has already invaded us and we want to share with others. But speak to him. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving him thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks for the people of Wildwood because it's through the people of Wildwood that I'm standing here today. But behind the people of Wildwood is the God that I worship and adore, who, as I said, when I pray, makes coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't happen. But they did today in incredible ways. But look at that last verse of Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we look around the world, do we see submission? As we look around the world, I'm so overwhelmed by how opinionated people are. And the reverence and the submission that we should see in our churches sometimes leaves something to be desired. But that's our choice. This is something that we can all be engaged in. You see, God's kingdom, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, God's kingdom is seen through his people's love, obedience, and witness. And I'll come back to that again. God's majesty in the presence, God's majesty in the future. What's it going to be like in the future? Psalm 2, I love to go to because I see what's going abroad in the world today. And Psalm 2 just brings it all back into right focus. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs and the Lord scoffs at them, and then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. And he said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter and dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in an instant, a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 to 11, we see this same thought come out again and again and again. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He says, In the beginning, O Lord, you have laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands. And they will perish, but you will remain. And they will all wear out like a garment. And you will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same. And your years will never end. This is the God that we worship and adore. This is the God that we serve here and now. This is the God that we are supposed to live out our lives to glorify and to hallow his name. And as we seek to point to him, then God's kingdom is seen through his people's love, obedience, and witness. Your kingdom. This is all about his kingdom. But what about this kingdom come? The invasion. There's a demonstration of when that is going to happen. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24. And I'm making a point of reading all these passages today because I hope when you get home, you're going to reread them again and think about just what we are on the cusp of. If ever there was a time when fulfillment of Scripture is right before our eyes, is it not now? What should we be doing? Are we part of the invasion force? Well, certainly we are because we're alive for such a time as this. So, nation will rise. Sorry, Matthew 24:27. And it says, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And wherever there is a carcass there, the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four corners, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What's it going to be like when this lightning strikes from the east to the west? What's it going to be like when Revelation 1 verses 7 and 8 come alive? And then he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16, all of these things are written down. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True, and with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him that no one else knows but he himself. And he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the angels of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? But what about you and me here and now upon this earth? What about us? How are we to be handling this? How are we to be dealing with this? How are we to be responding to the truth that we know? How great is the love of the Father. There's a transformation going on. How great is the love of the Father that has been lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. In Philippians 1 verse 6. And this is the confidence that we have, that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it through to its completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If I didn't have that verse to go back to time and time and time again, I'd wonder, am I really the Lord's? Am I owned by him? Am I loved by him? Am I cared for by him? And I certainly am. And that's what's so amazing. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this be in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Your international missions board have sent out a little leaflet for what is going to happen across the next 8 days. Will you pick that up? Will you share it? Because the impact of your prayers is felt all around the world. It's incredible to see what God does in response to the prayers of his people. We have a little prayer group. It's just a handful, four or five, who meet on a Wednesday night. But we're seeing prayers answered in Brazil and South Africa. We're seeing prayers answered in Athlone. We are seeing amazing things that God is doing in answer to the prayers of his people. And that is what we can all engage in. We're so aware of that. This is how we are to engage. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 talk about the way that we should be so prayerful for all that is happening around us. And then there's Revelation 22:17-18. I'm not going to take time to read the passages. Please, please go home and do that yourself. All of these truths are written down here. All of these truths are going to come to pass. All of these truths involve you and me for such a time as this. All of these truths God wants to apply and enable us to see and live out for the glory of his name. What brings God more glory than to take people like us who pray these words out? Not so much the words, but the way that Jesus prayed. And then see God respond. So how do we prepare the ground for this coming invasion? Well, these are some things perhaps to take away from our service today. One is that there is really, really never been a more divisive time than here and now. Brothers and sisters in Christ are divided about all kinds of things. How do you show faith? How do you show compassion? And brothers and sisters on both sides of this equation are pointing the finger at others and condemning them. And I'm sure it must grieve the heart of God. But as we work together for the kingdom,
as we take on board what God is seeking to be about, then we can do that with the words of Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And each one of you should look to not only your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Listen to what Dwight Eisenhower said. Prayer is still the mightiest force in the world, and when used by dedicated men and women, nothing remains impossible. Back home, we've begun a thing in our church. We're small, so it's easy for us to do it. And we put our names in a bowl each week. And so at the end of our service, the bowl goes around and you pick out a name. And you pray for that person. Well, first you go to the person and you ask them, what can we pray for you through this coming week? And then you go to them the next Sunday and see how God answered that prayer. Now, I recognize it would not be an easy thing for you to do as you come in here on a Sunday, but what about in your small groups? Couldn't you pick out a name easily then? Couldn't you talk to the person and ask them what they would specifically like prayer for? And then next week, before you ask the new person that you have to pray for, you ask the old person that you've been praying for, what happened? What happened? What way did God answer prayer for you? And I guarantee you, your heart is going to be encouraged. Because as we pray for one another, just as we said in Ephesians 4, doesn't it do you good? Doesn't it lift your spirits? Don't you realize that you're not fighting alone? Isn't it incredible the people that God has put you in among? Please, 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 in these days, let's pray. Lord, as we draw our time to a close, we recognize that you are a great God. You're a Father who's called us into this family to which we now belong, recognizing, Lord, that our differences are being melted away, and understanding, Lord, just what you're doing in our lives, making us more and more like Jesus day by day, and grasping the mighty plan and sure and certain hope that we have, that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. To you and to you alone, we bring our worship, our adoration, and our praise as we hallow your name here upon this earth as it is in heaven. Amen.